Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with your love, our minds with your thoughts, and our mouths with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. For those that know me well, I begin a sermon with that prayer when I am very, very unsure of myself. And I have not been this nervous in a long, long time. But I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do the best I can. I've often shared with you, or some of you, my struggle in reading. Now, I read well, but I lack speed, and I lack the ability to comprehend things unless I'm really, 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 really attached to it, okay, or I read it again and again and again. So growing up, I don't know what the kids have to do nowadays, but, you know, later in the years in grade school and then into junior high, book reports were something that you had to do. I had to find something that I enjoyed reading. And I did. I found it. And it was in what you probably would expect. It was in what I thought was really good science fiction, but more importantly, mythology. Specifically, Greek, Roman, and Norse. Now, Greek mythology and Roman mythology have a lot of overlay. Basically, the same gods, different names. Norse mythology, entirely different. But these were things that so interest me that when I had to read a book and do a book report, I would spend hours in the library looking for them. And at one point in time, I knew all the gods' names. I knew what they did. I knew how they overlapped. I mean, they have movies out now. I knew things about Odin and about Thor that aren't even in the movies, and yet they're making movies out of that today. I mean, and trust me, I was reading my Bible then. I knew the stories in the Bible too. But this is what I did for school. And I knew this stuff. But it was myth. And you tend to ask yourself, how did it end up that way? Well, it's really quite simple. You see, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, the Norse gods, pick one. These weren't gods like we understand, okay? We existed to serve them. We existed to feed them. And if you read anything in mythology, you come to wonder why humanity would even do such thing, because they spent most of their time creating mischief and inflicting pain. And at the best, when you died, you went to Hades, and your hope was that you didn't suffer quite as much as the guy next to you or the gal. That was the promise. It was toil. It was bitter. And it simply lacked hope. I remember watching one movie years ago as a young man that literally depicted the gods playing chess, and people were the chessboard. And they were moving the pieces around for their amusement. I remember a story in ninth grade English, and I can't remember the name of the guy who did it, but he stole fire. And he brought it down and he gave fire to man. And the rest of the gods said, "What have you done? For now they will grow, they will no longer need us. They will build tall buildings, they will build airplanes and fly over this very mountain." And that was the one thing they got right. Because that's exactly what happened. Man grew and finally came to the realization, what do we need you for if all you do is just push more and more misery on us? So needing their worship, and they no longer believed in worship, the gods faded into legend, and then into myth, and ultimately into Hollywood. What's different? That's what I'm going to try to explain today. God the Father that we worship and that we believe in dearly is not only God of heaven and earth, but he's God of heaven and earth. He exists aside of all things. And this God created us because he wanted to, not because he needed us. He created us out of a desire to do so, and even when we fell, God, not needing us, took pity on us and promised a Savior. A promise to Savior from that one day in the garden all the way to that birth in Bethlehem. He promised a Savior. He didn't have to do these things. He was giving up a part of himself in his very Son. He didn't need to do it. He does not need our worship. And yet at the same time, he did it because he knew we needed it. He loved us enough that he gave us literally a way out. Because in and through the death and the resurrection of his Son, we receive forgiveness of sins, redemption, and the promise of everlasting life, which was not in the playbook of any of the gods that I've mentioned before that. And he didn't do it because we deserved it. He did it because he loved us and because we needed it. In our Old Testament lesson and our gospel lesson today, there are two parallels. Abraham and Mary took time for God. Abraham took time to feed and care for. Mary took time to listen. Not because God or Jesus needed it, but because they did. And herein lies the real gist. We live in a secular world that fills us up and fills our lives up so much that we literally become like Martha. Now, the gospel lesson, I think, is a bit hard on Martha. We got to remember that this is what she was taught to do all her life. She knew nothing else, but that's what Jesus was here for, is to bring something else, a different way of thinking, a hope in everything we do each and every day. Mary got that. Don't know why? Call it the gift of faith. But she knew that this was an opportunity where she needed to take time for herself to sit and just listen to Jesus. And if there is one thing that becomes harder and harder and harder as we live and as our lives fill up, is to take that time to listen to Jesus. Often been said by people, well, I go to church every Sunday. Good for you. All right? That's just plain good. But Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're not just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on Sunday. They're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit the other 6 days too. And God is asking us in this gospel lesson and in this Old Testament lesson to take time. Not because he needs it, but because we do. The secular world wants to marginalize Christianity. They want to marginalize religion. You know, one of the things that I saw, literally again, there are some very, very, very accurate things that you see in movies. And in one particular show where a world killer meteorite is streaming towards the earth, they show flashes of people in panic and they're running. And where are they running? Mosques, synagogues, churches. Isn't that amazing when they can fill their lives up with everything else, but when it really push comes to shove and things look like they're going to go south, where do they run? They find the God that never left them. They find the God that is always there. And Jesus today is encouraging us to pick the better part, to pick that thing, if only for a moment each and every day, that love and spirit and support of Christ goes with us each and every day in everything that we do. And we know that it changes our day, even the bad ones, because in them we know we're never alone, that He's there. And by living that, we live our faith as well, which, by the way, whether we know it or not, affects any and all around us. And it's just a simple matter of pushing away the electronics, pushing away those things that fill up, and for our need and for our benefit, because our Heavenly Father knows we need it, to take time. Take time for us in Him. The biggest fear of anyone should be that the love of God in and through our Lord Jesus Christ should fall into legend and then into myth. Because it's real and it's there for you and for me. Amen.